I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride? I wanna move. Hey, you need a traveling band.
Are we traveling?
Yeah, well, we didn't have a traveling band this weekend, but I had a traveling co-host. So, Joe, that song is for you.
Yes. Going across the land, trying to get a hand.
Yeah.
Little traveling band.
That's right. So, and in case you didn't know what you tuned into, you have found Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show.
And purveyor of obscure references.
Absolutely. With your hosts and obscurity, Ray Guarino and the master, mighty, full man at the con when I step aside, Joe D.
Yeah, the other guy.
Yeah, well. Since you're not, female, you can be Bortus, I guess, because you're big and strong and have a wrinkly head.
Yes, and you have a deep voice.
Yes, and so. I actually have to go more than once a year, though. But
right, absolutely, and we all come and watch, though, so it's all right.
Georgia.
So let's. Yes, and we lost our Alara, but that's okay. We'll get another one. I think Johnny's going to be our safety officer. But if you want to find out more about us, you can follow us on the web at motormouthradio.com. And we do post, not recently, because we've been kind of sick.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Yeah, Twitter is Motormouth Radio. Right. And, of course, Instagram is...
Real_MotormouthRadio.
Right, we got some stuff backed up for Instagram.
Yes.
And of course,
about once a year.
Right, and, of course, on Facebook, Motormouth Radio.
You know, it's a lot of fun trying to work on the car and put stuff on the phone, but
there
we're
is.
Trying to get stuff out to you there, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing some work the last few days, and I have taken some photos. I just haven't had a chance. I didn't look at my email since Friday, so I was so busy with stuff.
What, are you Amish?
Yeah, kind of. You would
God.
Think, right?
You know, next thing, you're going to get that long rubber glove, and you're going to be checking horses. And
yikes, I hope not. I was wearing rubber gloves when I did some dirty work. But yeah, you know what? Sometimes things just kind of fall into your house, and you got to take care of things. Like this time, my wife's car.
Stuff happened. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my wife's car took a dump.
Do tell.
And, you know, that
Do
was...
Tell.
Yeah, it was something that we talked about. It's about a year ago. Car goes into limp mode. We, you could key cycle it.
Reduced engine power.
Exactly. And this time... It was doing some flaky things, like it was the lights were flashing and all. And I conferred with Joe on this because, of course, we all do that.
The colors.
Yeah. And we decided that since the battery looked original, we should do that. So I put a battery in the car yesterday. But I'll tell you one thing: it's nice being at a shop where the guys treat you like family.
Yes.
Because Mike says to me on Friday at the shop, he goes, "Hey, you want to bring the car here?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, but I don't want to idle it like from my house to here." He goes, "No, we'll take the truck. We'll tow it." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that."
That's right. You've got tow trucks at your can call over there. That's nice for when things go awry like that.
Because
it's still a pretty long push from your house to the shop.
It is.
You know?
So at least now I had the car there at the shop. And like I said, threw a battery in it. This is the condensed version. And then the thing in front of me on the bench, which I will put a picture up, is the throttle body.
Right.
Which ended up being the... That's right. It's out right there. That ended up being the offensive
thing right
part.
Here.
There it is.
Yeah.
The microphone could look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's like a very slow maraca.
And I told Mike, I said, never do that to a new one.
Right. Oh, no. That's big.
Never do it too long because it's motor controlled. There's a little servo motor in there, and they don't like when you make them open forcefully.
Right. Of course, now this one, of course, will do all kinds of things to it, but that's another story.
That was going
to
come apart
after what it did to you,
right? So the bottom line was it was that between the battery being questionable and the throttle.
Well, yeah. Well, you see that kind of threw you for a loop over there, which is something which happened to me, which we'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, you were talking about like lights flickering and all kinds of crazy, wacky, wonderful stuff. Plus, you had codes in the ABS system, which I kind of decided based on it looked like there was low voltage to the ABS unit.
Yeah,
which probably was the battery's fault.
The funny thing to me was it did throw this P2135 code.
Right.
Now, when I looked that up in the engine code site, it basically says here possible causes: faulty electric throttle control actuator. TP sensor 1 and 2. Throttle position sensor harness is open or shorted, which is always a possibility. Throttle position sensor circuit poor connection, which that was the first thing I went through because I had done that in the past.
There was something that I remember reading about that, like I'll let you know about,
And then the last one was faulty accelerator pedal position sensor, which is on the...
The APP.
Yeah,
it's not the TPP.
Right. It's not a gas pedal anymore. It's really an air pedal. But it's under, what we know as a gas pedal. There's actually a sensor on that. So those are the things that they called out as being possible causes, not the throttle body, which I found interesting.
Mm.
You know, when I did some further digging, some of the guys had said, some of the techs who would weigh in said, I found that. You know, in many cases, the throttle body was it. And, of course, the snap-on scan tool that Mike used, the Solus, did show in graphical form the percentages of repair.
Yeah, survey says...
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. 71% of people solved this problem by changing the throttle body.
Right.
And there was lower percentages that fixed it with other things, which there are always possible. So my point is, you take the code, you Google it, like I did, and... Oh, throttle! You know it leads you to one thing where many people probably went out and bought that the gas pedal sensor,
right?
And then they would have had the same problem. So it's not just a matter of when you see what the code refers to changing that part. And this goes back on this show for many, many years. We've talked about this for a long time, and that's why it's important to have a backup or bring it to someone who knows what they're doing.
Right.
That's why I called Joe, because the diagnostic and it comes down to the database you have in your head from problems of probably not that, probably this.
It's called teeth marks on my left one.
There you go.
Or the T-shirt.
Exactly.
And the hat.
Right. So again, at another time, another place, another person might have thrown a lot of money, fired a parts cannon at this thing.
The parts cannon!
Yeah, and got many different parts and been wrong.
Yep.
But we're going to fire the parts cannon at the phone and we'll go to it, ba-boom, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Yes, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, caller. Hey, guys, how you doing? Me, Rob.
What's up, Rob?
All kinds of things. You're talking about diagnostic codes. The other day, driving down the road, and the Mustang throws up a check engine light. So when I check the codes, it's a P701, a P704, all right?
Something
lean on both banks. All right, so you figure, map sensor probably has to be cleaned.
Wait, stop.
Z701? 701-704.
That's tranny codes.
Oh, no, wrong one. Let me see.
Did you say...
Whatever the one was for the lean bank.
171 and 174,
that's
lean
it.
Bank, one bank,
that's
two.
It.
Yeah, okay, now we're
ones.
Talking. You know, right. I haven't had that much coffee yet.
I'm a little bit clouded this morning. I just got up. Anyway.
It's okay.
So, it's like, all right, so a map sensor, maybe even EGR, whatever, but there's no EGR code.
Okay.
All right, so... I open up the hood to go and clean the mass sensor, and what do I see? The dipstick is out of the tube by like an inch or two.
Okay.
I said, look at that.
Go looking out.
Just for giggles, I go and I push the thing back in.
Right.
Now, the code was up for like 3 days, mm-hmm. driving around the thing for like, 2-3 days, so I was able to get to it. So I go and I push the stick back in, I start the car up, no check engine light. Like, look at that. So I've been driving the car for 2 days, no check engine light.
Okay.
Pretty nutty, huh? Just from
not bad. Not bad. Well, okay, actually, first of all, have you been listening to what I was saying? Always look at the freeze frame.
Yes, it was the freeze frame.
Okay, it was the freeze frame at idle?
The freeze frame was at idle.
Okay, vacuum leak. In other words, in other words, lean is either too much air and not enough fuel.
Right.
So right there, the fact that it happened at idle, kind of takes the mass airflow off the table. I mean, I'm not calling you crazy, but that was good looking at to see the dipstick had popped. You know what I mean? Because any time you have pirate air into the system at an idle, you know, first of all, you have to get Johnny Depp out of the engine compartment. I know it's warm. You got to get him out of there. Basically, that always tells you what you're fighting. Because I always say to people, what's the freeze frame? Why? Right. Because like if the code happened when you're doing 80 down the highway and the car's screaming hot versus cold, idling in your driveway, you're looking at two different sets of conditions.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. You know? Well, you're talking high vacuum at idle, lower vacuum when you're screaming on the road.
Right. Not only that, but it's a matter of the percentage of air of the pirate, the number of pirates entering the system at an idle or higher.
I was just talking to our friend Pat at Dial about how scanners don't always give you the same data, so it's like grams per square inch, or it could be parsecs per bushel.
Buckets per week.
Yeah, buckets per week.
Stop!
So, right, but it's in some density form where, that's how they package it.
Right. And the rule of thumb is as long as your scanner reads in obscure units, there is about 1 gram per second, or a little bit more than 1 gram per second for the size of the engine in liters. So like in other words, a 5 liter would give you like six, five and a half, six, maybe about. So if you see like 3.5, 4, it's like, oops, vacuum leak. Here we go.
It's low, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, I did a preliminary check over the top of the motor,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't see anything that would indicate a vacuum leak from vacuum lines, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It does not necessarily mean that you don't have a vacuum leak somewhere.
Right.
So, of course, going forward, we'll monitor the system, et cetera, et cetera. Now, of course, my code read is kind of cheap.
Right.
It doesn't tell me everything I would really need to know.
Mm.
My son, a friend of his, he's got, all the latest stuff and whatever, so he's going to bring his laptop over and plug in and, diagnose in real time to see if there's anything else happening in there that I'm not aware of that I can't see with the code reader.
Yeah, take it down the road and look at the fuel trims at idle, and then, you could do it at 2,500 RPM sitting there parked, actual driving is better. And as long as those numbers stay... The classic number is 10%, positive and negative. But Fords, in the real world, you might see 12, 15%. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But as long as those numbers don't, and also you want to add your long and your short-term fuel trims.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for the most part, as long as you're within that 10, 12% there, you're probably okay.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I didn't write down the numbers from the freeze frame. I didn't think I'd be calling you guys today, but I had some time. So, but we'll go and we'll take a look and we'll analyze it, in real time, and we'll see what we're dealing with in the present time, But like I said, as soon as I opened up the hood and I saw the dipstick,
good looking out.
It's like when the gas cap is off, and you get all kinds of funky things happening when the gas cap is off.
Oh yeah, that drives the EVAP system totally nuts.
Exactly, EVAP code, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's happened on that car too. Don't put the gas cap on properly after a fill up, and then you get a check engine light. You plug in with an EVAP code, so go back to the gas cap and take it off, put it back on. Oop, gone.
Yeah, exactly. Also remember that certain codes. The lean codes are what you said there, and a lot of the EVAP codes. All right, the system has to run the monitor, or it has to total up. In other words, it's not like reaching under the hood and yanking the wire off, say like a critical sensor, and like the computer's like, no, don't do that to me, But it's like while you're driving, it's like you're a little lean.
Yeah.
When the significant other comes to you, the basement's getting just a little bit too cluttered. Maybe you want to take that engine block out and move it from the bottom of the stairs.
You can do something about the garage.
Yeah.
I'm going to move into it.
But just because you have a particular code telling you it's a particular thing doesn't necessarily mean that's what the problem is. I'll give you a great example.
That's what I was talking about, Rob.
Absolutely, yes.
It's very, very true. You can't take it verbatim.
I have a great example. In fact, I discussed this with Ray when it happened a couple of years back. Same car, Mustang, 06 GT, 4.6.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a code one day. I got to check engine light, check the code. It was a bad temperature sensor.
Right.
But I was losing, but my battery wasn't charging.
Right.
I was like, well, okay, well, what's going on here? It ended up that however the circuitry is wired, the alternator, when it loses output, it threw off a bad temperature sensor code.
Wow. Oh, wait a minute. Was that a temperature sensor or was that the cam sensor we had a little talk about?
No, temperature sensor on my
car. Okay. All right. For some reason, that reminds me of a cam sensor. Somebody with a V8 Ford. I remember something about a cam sensor code being thrown up by alternator hijinks.
Rob, we're going to have to move on and take our break because we have a guest coming in a few minutes. So we have to get a few things out of the way and then make way for Mr. Carl Anthony.
Yeah, and I got a Jalogia.
Carl Anthony, look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much for the time. I'll speak to you later. Have a great day.
Okay,
you too,
Rob.
Man. Take care.
So long.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to do that just right now. We're going to take a break, come back with more Motor Mouth Radio with Mr. Carl Anthony from automobileblog.net. And let's see. It's no reason to cause a big commotion, Joe, but we're going to do it anyway on Motor Mouth Radio 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by Disney on Ice presents Frozen. Coming to NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, January 10th to the 13th. Discover the full story of Disney's Frozen. Join Anna as Olaf, Kristoff, and Sven help her find Elsa and bring back summer. Hosted by Mickey and Minnie, with music and special appearances by Disney stars. More information can be found online at DisneyOnIce.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age, with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceania, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Oh, there we are. All sorts of commotion on Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. But don't call us right now because Mr. Carl Anthony should be weighing in from automobileblog.net. And we're going to talk about all the current trends and things that those guys get involved with. You're certainly free to do so afterwards. Let's see if we got to kick somebody off or if we have our guest. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Hello, caller. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yo.
Hey, guys. Joe, Ray, how you doing?
There we go. Carl
Anthony.
What's happening, Carl?
It's good to talk to you guys again. First, Happy New Year.
You too.
You.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much, Carl. Same to you.
How's things by you?
Did you guys get good food and all that stuff over the holidays?
Yeah, I'm still recovering.
Yeah, I had lots of cold meds. I was sick as a proverbial dog.
Yeah,
yes. Wolf. I heard that, Ray. We were exchanging some emails, and are you feeling? You sound like you're feeling a little better.
I am. Every day, it's been better. The cough still lingers. I mean, that's going to be on for a while. But yeah, I'm over the hump of the bad stuff, and of course, now I just passed it on to my wife, and my daughter had a little bit of it. So yeah, we're just sharing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey,
germs.
Yeah. That's what
family
you're
thing
to do during the holidays.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, now you got to wear the hazmat suit, and it just doesn't. It makes it really tough at dinner time, you know. Yeah. If you're watching TV, it fogs up the windshield and all that stuff. So
right.
It's just not practical.
you get little windshield wipers for that hazmat suit, though, for the screen, you know.
So what's going on with Automoblog now, Carl, for 2019? What do you guys have your sights set on? Because you always have some great, great content. And,
Yeah. No, it's a good question, guys. One of the things we're doing this year is we really want to dive more in-depth into cars. I guess you'd call them editorial reviews, for lack of a better word. We want to call it something better than that. But where we just go a little more in-depth to cars and, you know, get more of the story behind them. We want to do more comparison-type stuff, you know. So we want to, like, you know, we're experimenting. We did one with a new Audi, the e-tron GT, and we looked at the specs and how would that benchmark against the Tesla Model S. So we want to do more benchmarking and comparison articles, and then more guides, too. We just, Alvin Reyes, who's our associate editor and one of our writers, Alvin spent hours and a lot of time and energy writing this winter driving guide that we now have up on our site of just safety tips for, you know, what do I do if I'm in my car and I'm in an accident? Like, you know, or what do I put in my winter kit? So we want to do a lot more driving guides, you know, maintenance guides, car ownership guides, and things like that, in addition to reporting the news and the trends and the technology and all
real
that
stuff. Car stuff.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a great idea. As a matter of fact, you got that. I asked our web dude to move that Winter Driving 101 complete guide to staying safe and ready. I asked him to kind of link that over on our site,
onto a blog on our website, right? Of course, that'd be great. Yeah, we'll definitely share that on our website. Sure,
Because now that it's cold, we're gonna some of us actually remember it's winter. We've been blessed so far in the neighborhood, right here.
Please don't say it.
Yeah, us too. It hasn't snowed a drop here in Michigan. It's not even over Christmas.
Right. It went south of us yesterday. So, like, all the guys, I think our buddy, Matco Man, probably got doused on, but he's down in Maryland. But, you know,
I wonder if they make Matco snow shovels.
I don't know. They make a lot of cool stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah. There's something for you to invent, Joe, if it doesn't exist already. That's something for you to invent.
Well, our friend Christian at Long Island Racing a few years ago, Carl, I'll send you the picture. He took.
Yeah.
He said, you know, why you go in, it was in the dead of the winter, everything was frozen, you go to the gas station, and there's never any, if they can't put just clear water in the thing with a squeegee to clean your windows, God forbid they put anything that has alcohol in it. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So the thing is frozen into the block, and then it goes.
Yes.
So he actually went back to the shop, and with spare parts, he took a squeegee, mounted, I think, 4 fuel injectors on it, with a canister on the thing.
Wow.
To power it, and he made his own button-powered, fuel-injected, activated window squeegee, and it was brilliant.
Wow.
That
you
is know? Unbelievable.
Yeah, Christian is...
An injected squeegee.
And I said to him, I want one.
Yeah, seriously.
Amazing.
I'll send you the picture later, yes.
Yeah, oh, I so want to see that.
He is a master fabricator there.
You do. You go to the gas station and they're bone dry, you know, and you've driven somewhere where you've got 10,000 bugs on the windshield. And you're like, I can't see, you know.
Right. Yeah, or like in the winter, it's schmutz and sming and, you know, there's the mud and all that crap. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, with the salt and whatnot. That's incredible. I just saw a picture of that.
I just
found
a picture. I'm going to send it to you, Carl. Yeah, that's 4 fuel injectors. Yeah. And he took them off, you know, some motorcycle that wasn't that was derelict or out of his parts stash, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, cool
car
stuff.
People are creative people, man. You give us a little coffee and we can do anything.
And Christian just waited. He says, yeah, the squeegee 9000. I'm still waiting for mine, but I don't know if he's still using it. But, yeah, that's cool. Oh, and Brian just told us that down in Maryland, 5 inches and still snowing, so that Matco truck better have some snow tires or chains on it for for Monday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's some serious stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, back in the day, those technicians would keep an eye out for the Matco truck, man. They, you know.
Sure.
Our guy was like clockwork.
Oh, yeah. You had a Matco guy. Cool.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Always made the rounds, you know. And then we had the R-Mark guy, you know, for the uniforms, always make the rounds on Tuesdays and Fridays. And, you know, that last gentleman you were talking to on the phone, talking about the diagnostic codes and the check engine lights, it was reminding me of a conversation I had with Lou Santiago a couple years ago about the, you know, the necessity of not just being parts replacers for technicians, of when we're training a new generation of technicians, that, you really have to go in and diagnose.
You can't just
replace parts, because what happens is it doesn't get to the root of the problem. And on our end of the business, we hear a lot of times from consumers, hey, you know, what do we do? I went to the dealership, I had a check engine light, they replaced this part or that part or anything, you know, they replaced, but yet my check engine light still comes on a week later or 2 weeks later. You know, what do we do? I've had this back 3 or 4 times. So.
Right.
Yeah, well, let's face it. Some shops, they're like boomerang factories. You know, they just keep bringing you back. Just when you thought it was out, they keep pulling you back.
Yeah,
right.
which works for some things, but check engine lights, I don't think so. It's just not cool. But just troubleshoot it and be done. But unfortunately, these days people Google stuff. You know, are people who should not, you know, they should be Googling cat food or, you know, how to grow plants or whatever. But when it comes to car stuff, you really should have somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
At least take a look at the car and give you an educated, I don't like to use the word guess, but opinion.
How about a hypothesis?
That's too many letters, Ray. Come on.
You got college kids in the house.
How many syllables is that?
Hypothesis. Four.
Yes.
Four.
Carl, okay.
My jaw hurts now.
You mentioned Lou Santiago, and I was trying to remember this. The Plane and Traffic show. We got to get you on there. I don't know if that's something that I don't remember you being on that show. We got to get you on there. So I can make that happen for you. I will.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to Louis Lee, who is Lou Santiago's. It's either going to be Louis Lee or Tori de Blasi,
right.
Who will get in touch with you, and they'll send you a form. That you can fill out online, just like basically just a get to know you kind of thing, who you are, what you do, contact information, and then they'll schedule you on. We'll get you on there with us on a Thursday night.
I mean
I'm reasonably smart. I should be able to fill that out. Okay,
I think so.
Hey,
I've read it. If I could read it, you could write it. I mean, it's not a big deal.
There's directions, right?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
And you
I
can
should
use,
be fine.
And you can use digital crayons if you want, whatever you like.
Flip over, read directions. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Well, hypothesis as an alternative to hypothesis, we have in one input that says, how about theory? That's only 2 syllables.
Right, theory.
And as my buddy John Rogers just pointed out, that on YouTube, dogs and cats talk. So do you really want to do your research for your technical problems on YouTube?
There you go.
You know, so that's right, too. You know, I mean, it's really good for, like, Star Trek videos.
You know, Johnny Rogers, another guy we had to get back onto this show.
Yes.
Another guy is long overdue.
The actual technical aspect of what really goes on out in the universe there.
Yeah.
You know, you think I got a truckload of scan tools?
Yeah. You know, this is what happens, Carl. Like with this, I was trying to do some work at the shop. I was working on a Buick, and I brought in my version of the J22-344 GM fuel gas gauge tester. If you Google that, you won't even find a picture of it, believe it or not.
Right.
It's too old.
You'll get some
other things, but it does exist. It's in the old factory service manuals, and I made my own version to verify that the fuel sending unit was bad.
See, that's the difference between you and me, Ray. You made a nice box. You got numbers on it. It's got connect. Me, I go to radio. I go into my box of Radio Shack resistance. 45 ohms. Okay. Right. F tank. Yeah, we're good.
Well, and you're right. You can do that. And this one's going to be, this is version 1.0. I'm going to do version 1.2 next. I'm going to change it. I want to, and I put a magnet on the back of it so it can magnetize to a chassis or the cabinet in the shop, because now if one of the other guys want to use it, it becomes a no-brainer type of a tool.
That's what we need. We need that more no-brainer stuff.
Because I have, it's awesome. it's just a rheostat in there. It's just a pot, and I have those at the shop. But you know, you have to know where to hook up. It intimidates some people. You know?
Some people actually have that tool, from what I've just been told.
Oh, that's cool. I'd love to see one in person.
Yes. Well, you know, maybe he could bring it in if we ever get him on the show.
That would be cool.
Hint.
Yeah.
You know.
Carl, what I was saying is, I was trying to work on the old school car, and then my wife's car took the crap, and it was like, okay, I got to work a day here, and I have to spend money, not make money.
Yeah, right.
That's not how it's supposed to work, guys.
Yeah, but it does. It's our world, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but what are your guys' thoughts and perspectives on, and because on our side of the business, it's always the new technology, new connectivity, new infotainment, and, you know, even everything is so computer and tech-driven. So what happens, like, what happens if you get a fender bender in some of these cars? Like in Michigan, you hit a deer, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, do you end up totaling these cars because it's just so asinine expensive?
It's a lot easier to wash them out because I've seen some cars that didn't look too bad at body shops that, like, the bags blew. Garbage.
Right. At that,
no, no, 3-4 year old car.
Interestingly enough, the shop that I work through, their main business is a body shop. So a lot of the body shop cars come down to the shop where I'm at, and I see them take them apart. And I always wander over and take a look. And a bumper hit, a parking lot bumper hit, can easily be $2,000 to $3,000.
Yes.
Easy. Right.
Because of the and the bumper cover itself, maybe the paint is cracked, and maybe it got pushed in. That push in can be popped out with a hot air gun, by the way.
Right.
But it's what happens underneath of it. It's bracketry that's plastic a lot of times.
Exactly. I had a friend of mine's daughter. She got tapped on like an 18 Camry. You know, and every light on the dashboard went on, and she asked me. I said, I don't have the software to do that yet. You know, they call that ADAS, Advanced Driver Automotive Assistance Systems. And she had to take it to the dealer because I just don't. And thank God for insurance.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're getting to be throwaway. I mean, it's getting to be like my wife's even saying she's trying to get me to lease a car. And says, because, you know, the new ones, after a few years, you can't fix them.
Mm.
Well, they're very, very expensive to fix.
Yes, you hit that on the head, Ray.
Yeah.
You hit that on the head.
It's so crazy. And Joe, when I was on the show last year, you know, late last year, Joe, you had said something that has stuck with me.
Uh-oh.
Cars are like iPhones. Cars are just like cell phones.
Yeah, they are.
Now, Carl, keep in mind.
We were just having that talk in the green room over there before we got on.
Keep in mind, when you're talking to Joe, you're talking to a guy with an iPhone that is so mal-updated. Like, his scanners are right there, but his iPhone, his son makes fun of him.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know? So, it's all relative, you know?
Seriously. Yesterday, as far as, like, the connectivity goes, you called me while I was on the road, right?
I did.
I had my phone plugged into the car. You know, it's a late model Nissan. And I went to answer it, and I don't know, I hit the wrong button. Next thing you know, I'm talking to my mother.
Right.
I'm like, come on.
Joseph, what are you doing, Joseph?
Hi, Joseph, you're still on the road? Hey, wait a minute, you ain't Ray. Ma, you got any check engine lights on? Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, I hit one stinking wrong button and trying to get it right. I had to pull over. My wife's like, don't be looking at that phone right now. I'm like, but, you know, that to me, that just makes me nuts.
Right.
I would have rather just like stuck my Bluetooth in my ear and just answered you, but oh no.
Carl, can we keep you on through a quick break, please?
Yeah.
I'd like to do that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more. We'll do that real quick. We'll do that, and we'll come back with more Motor Mouth Radio. It's you know, sometimes when your car isn't working right, we used to just get out to the side of the road and throw your thumb out. Remember those days?
Oh yeah. Now
let's see if we can get some of that here on 90.3 WHPC. Stick with us, Carl.
Hi, this is Michael Anthony, engineer and producer of Music is Therapy. Please join us throughout the month of January right here at 90.3, Thursdays at 3:30 p.m. as we air the final four programs of Music is Therapy. Larry Carlson, the longtime host, fought a brave battle with cancer for more than a year and unfortunately lost that battle on December 5th. However, not long before that, Larry returned to the station to record four brand new programs, and it is our honor to broadcast these shows as Larry would have wanted them to air. It was not only Larry's goal to tout the therapeutic aspects of music through his program, but it was also his goal to discuss health topics and issues that would better the life of people both physically and mentally. So please join Larry for his final four programs of Music is Therapy, Thursdays at 3:30 p.m. right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents the Marshall Tucker Band on Thursday, June 27th at 8 p.m. More information is available online at ParamountNY.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
All All right, we've dragged it off the highway, and that was our good friend Dennis Pitsenbarger giving us a nice promo. And we are here, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, and we still have Mr. Carl Anthony on the line, I presume.
Yes, always good to be with you guys. Got the picture of the squeegee, Ray, and as the young kids would say, I need that in my life.
I told Christian I need one, too. He said that he had an issue. What did he say about that? He just had a little issue with that. That thing isn't dead yet. He keeps it around. He said, he charged it up and lost one of the fuel injectors, so he's in the rebuilding phase. So
right.
I'm sure he'll take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go through the prototypes and everything. That's bound to happen.
Well, it's just like my J22344. I made the thing, and this is what all builders go through. You make something, and then only when I make it and have it in my hands do I know how I can make it better. You know,
right.
It's hard to see that vision from the. And I don't think anybody, and even at big companies, Joe, I think they really.
Yeah.
You go through those design phases.
Who knows? Maybe we even made that injector that we had to replace.
right.
There's a lot of R&D that goes into stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Evaluation, R&D, testing. And let's face it, once we get the Squeegee 3000. Was it Squeegee 3000?
9000.
No, through Squeegee 9000.
He kind of screwed himself by starting with a 9, so.
Yeah.
Well, once we get to the Squeegee 9001.
But you can do 9000 A, B, C,
Well, it depends, But, we'll have to put that up on the website, jet powered squeegee.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Then you gotta have a mini one, a small one for stocking stuffers. I mean,
there you
right.
go.
You know, you
for
gotta,
headlights.
Headlights, exactly.
Mirrors.
Well, here's a tip for people, and it sounds so silly, but you bring it to mind. I keep in the back pouch of my driver's seat, I have a little squeegee, and I bought it at, I think, Walmart in, like, the bathroom section, like the cleaning section
right.
where the mops are. It's a little 6-inch squeegee, so I can clean the side mirrors of the car.
Great idea.
When you get those days where it's just, like, a little misty or a little, and I've actually used it to scrape very, very light frost, too. I've played with that, too. I mean, these are the things right. that, it's kind of quality of life when you're driving, but you have to be able to see,
Let's face it, seeing is important.
Not to half the people on the road, though.
Well, yeah, you can't go. You can't drive around like Mr. Magoo. Let's face
it. How bad is it by you, Carl, on a daily basis?
Honestly, we are lucky in Michigan. The Michigan State Police, they do an excellent job of just keeping our main roads patrolled. So, like 94 and M10, and we actually rank quite safe here as far as seatbelt usage goes, as far as instances of drugged and drunk driving and things like that. I mean, you're always going to have your nut job who's late for work and weaving in and out of traffic, and
we call those BMW drivers.
Yeah, right. Same. What's the difference between a porcupine and a BMW, right?
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yes.
That's a Bronc joke.
A classic joke. If Jeep and Al Handy's listening, I'm sure he knows the punchline.
Oh, yeah.
But here, our biggest issue is infrastructure and roads, and because winter just eats away at things. So, you go down a street you haven't been down in a while, you better have your eyes open because you could be replacing some sway bars or tires. We do have some craters. Our roads around here are pretty rough. But other than that, it's a pretty safe place to drive.
It's a bad pothole when you hit it and it gets dark for a second. Okay. That's a big one. That one's going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. I've seen some of the ravages and the damage that have done from that. And, you got to like doing suspension work.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you mentioned, Ray, having the little squeegee. And when we did this, we mentioned the winter driving guide. When we did the winter driving guide, one of the things that we included after all of Alvin's research in writing that was that it's recommended that drivers keep a road atlas. And younger drivers today just don't do that because we think we have right. We have our cell phones.
I'd love to see a younger millennial with, and man, I should try it with my own daughter, with the gas station map. And you know how those things were. I mean, everybody could open and unfold one, but not many people could put them back together, even though they were pre-creased. Yeah, I want to see what one of them across the dash. Like, oh, wait a minute, where's Route 10? Jeez.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We cited a study that was done by Siegfried and Jensen that they went out and they surveyed drivers. They surveyed about 1,100 American drivers, and the basis of the survey was, how prepared are you really? And of course, people thought they were over prepared. Oh, I'm prepared in the event of a breakdown. Well, it turns out that of the recommended items, they don't have them. Most people are way underprepared for getting lost or being in a wreck. And so the question is, well, if you're in the mountains or somewhere where you don't have signal, it's wintertime, you get stranded or you get lost, then how do you have any GPS? You don't. You would need an atlas. Right. But most people don't carry those anymore.
Right.
So our driving guide talks about that. Stick one of those in the glove box. You might think it's nuts. You might think it's crazy. You might think you never use it. But
and learn how to read it.
Right. You'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
You know, it's funny you say that, because over the summer, my wife and I were down in Tennessee, and we went into a Walmart, and they actually had a full rack. I always like to buy a local map wherever I am, especially if I haven't been there before.
You same, yeah.
They had a full rack of maps and Hagstrom atlases. Hagstrom's used to be real expensive. I paid like $19 for a plasticized Hagstrom atlas.
Yeah,
I was like, "That's a score of the century." I'll take two of them just because they're cheap.
Yeah, it's a dying art, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know what? If forget about if you don't have phone service. I mean, there are some parts, like, let's say I went up into not even that far upstate
Queens.
New York.
Oh, what's a little neck, Joe? Come on,
yeah, that too.
Right.
But like, when the phone actually like laughs at you. You know what I mean? It's like, you want what?
Yeah.
You want to know what? So, you know, sometimes you have to have
Carl,
you have to have something low tech.
I have a trivia question for you, and
sure.
I've used this on this show
in Vegas.
I used it, I think, 10 years ago, because I read it somewhere, and I never verified to see if it was actually true. So we may need a fact check on this, but it sure sounds right. And here's the question. We all know, like you say, GPS, and we know that stands for Global Positioning Sensor, Global Position Sensing. MAP, from what I read, is an acronym, M-A-P. And the question is, what do the letters MAP stand for?
Manifold absolute pressure?
No, not in your world, Joe. And it comes from, like most things, comes from the military.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah, go on. You have a guess, or you want me to...
My ass is planted.
Oh boy.
Good one, Joe.
Again, if Jeep and Al Handy's listening, he's my lifeline on this. Because I feel like he's the guy that would know this.
Yes. I would agree, but he's not weighing in.
He
must be doing something else because he's not contacting us. It's so fiendishly simple. From what I read, it was manually acquisitioned position.
Which makes sense.
With the picture in front of you, you're manually acquiring your position. And I said, boy, it's so, even if it's not really true, I buy it. You know?
Right.
It's like, okay.
Manually.
That actually does sound legit.
So that's the kind of stuff.
I've never heard it was an acronym.
So what? Neither had I. You know, and of course, if there aren't dots between the letters, and there aren't dots between GPS either.
Right.
You know, that's they don't
true.
Put dots. So now you know what comes out of my head when the cold clears. How's that?
Right.
Be afraid.
Right.
Be very afraid.
Brilliant stuff.
What
you
is
know,
your manually actuating position coordinates? What? Where are you?
Right.
Every time I listen to Motormouth Radio, I always learn something new. And this is what I've learned today. Manual acquisition position.
Yeah, manually acquired position or manually
most
acquisition.
Accurate position, possibly.
Well, whatever.
I have a little input on that, yeah.
Okay.
But,
I'm gonna impress so many people with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody just thought it was something to do. What do they call that when they make little paper animals out of it?
Origami?
Origami. Yeah, they just figured it was just like really fancy origami paper there.
Right. Yeah, funny stuff. Yeah, so that's... So what else you got happening, Carl? Give us a quickie update on what's... if there's anything else you want to throw out there so we can educate our listeners.
Big thing coming up this week, Detroit Auto Show, North American International Auto Show. So big reveals. Toyota Supra is the one that's getting all the attention. Everybody's going to want to know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
Ram trucks will be busy doing stuff. But this year, it seems like, you know, NAIS kind of has a different tone this year because this is the last year of the winter show. So after this, the Detroit Auto Show moves to the summer, and the tone of it will change dramatically from what we understand. So it'll be more of a almost a tourist destination versus a industry style car show. There will still be the industry aspect, but the idea is to reinvent the yearly Detroit Auto Show now in the summer. So this is the last of it in January. So, good or bad, this will be it for the winter shows till they move in 2020. I believe it's June, but I don't remember. But it'll be a summer show from now on.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I guess it's also maybe a little bit more weather friendly. I guess if they're trying to get the tourists in on it, you know what I mean?
It is. Yeah. It is. And the big reveal prior to that was Ford Explorer, the 2020 Ford Explorer, you know, which is to me, in my mind, is Ford is riding the wave of SUV sales because that's what Americans are buying. That's what Americans want. Ford Explorer has, 30 years of longevity, a 30-year nameplate in the segment. So
it's well known, yeah.
For them to print money,
Sure.
So they reveal it right before the big auto show, and, they'll be probably riding that all the way to the bank. But, I mean, again, just last couple of years at NAIS, all the trucks and SUVs, guys, that's what seems to be the name of the game.
Yeah,
here.
That's but where it's at,
The Toyota Supra will be exciting to see. I think that's the one reveal here, which actually takes place tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm kind of psyched for that, yeah.
That's the one reveal I think everybody's kind of looking for,
Bring back the MR2.
Mr. 2, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Supra,
they were hot, boy.
High-performance Toyota almost seems like an oxymoron, but you know what?
It really does.
The ones that I've encountered, them things are no joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. It's about time they brought one back. See, yeah. Everybody can't be driving around in RAV4s and Camrys all the time,
Right.
Corollas.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta have at least one car that shows a little bit of friggin' muscle,
Right. Sure.
Have you ever seen, Joe, the Camry XSE is the trim level? Camry XSE.
I've seen pictures of it, yeah.
It's sharp.
They really tried to make a little dent in that because they went from refrigerated with tires to more of a real I'm going to say enthusiast type car, or at least something that you can't get like going through a coma while you drive.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I think is a good idea because a reliable, solid performing car that also gives you a little bit of fun on the way to work is not a bad thing.
That's why I bought a Mazda years ago.
Yeah,
it was like zoom,
yeah,
baby. Yeah.
Exactly.
Miata's
still one of my dream cars. I love those.
Yeah.
For $30,000, you can't beat it. Honestly.
Sure. Yeah, they've got that market nailed good.
I'm still looking at that new Fiat 124, the new Spider. I'd love that.
Absolutely.
If it came with a hard top, a removable hard top, man, I'd be so. I just don't want to have a soft top in the winter,
I agree with you 100%. The Miata has that,
Yes.
The RXF is the hard top, and I wish the 120, I wish Fiat would do that.
Yeah.
A hard top, because I'm with you there, Ray. I'm the same way.
It was built on the same assembly line. I mean, come on. How hard would it have been? You know? Anyway. All right. Well, Carl, we got to wrap and we got to move on.
Yeah.
We appreciate the call. We thank you for calling us and be rest assured I'll be in touch with you very sure about that interview stuff because now I can clearly think and speak. So
I haven't been on your website in a few days, so I see some new stuff here. I got to look at it. I love your reviews. The way you guys do reviews is really, really nicely done compared to some of these other boring places to go.
Agreed.
Dennis does a tremendous job. Thank you all.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
By all means.
And follow you guys on Twitter, too. You have a Twitter feed, Audible Blog on Twitter. It's great. Always timely. A lot of cool stuff. Great pictures, too. I like it. So.
Thank you.
Okay, Carl. Thank you very much.
You bet, guys. We'll talk soon, okay?
We'll do.
Please do. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, Carl. So long. Good.
Bye-bye.
That was Carl Anthony from AudibleBlog.net. Check them out. Those guys know their stuff. And also, if you want to know guys who know their stuff, listen to WHPC Sports Talk. It airs multiple times during the week, including Mondays at 5, Tuesdays at 5, Thursdays at 9, and Fridays at 3 p.m. It's where the WHPC sports staff talk anything and everything in the world of sports. The show features guests from the world of sports journalism, and listeners call and always share their comments. It's always welcome, and people love it. And with that, Joe, we're going to go from the confines of sports and our nice studio. We're going to go see those bamboo, the big thing of bamboo in those trees over there. We're going to go into the jungle now.
Oh, we're going to run through it?
Let's go run through it. We'll come back on the other side. A little more Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
program is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who welcomes Cheap Trick on Saturday, March 2nd at 8 p.m. More information can be found online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Yeah, we try to be comical while we run through the jungle.
Yeah, now I just got to wipe my feet, otherwise they're going to get mad at the studio. Okay, I left the lawn and footprints in the carpet.
Yeah, get them off of there.
All right, like now I got to get the wet vac, not even the mop.
Well, we are back on Motormouth Radio, and we will go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
How you doing, guys? John from Hixel.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Not much. Just have a question here. I know Joe will really get interested in this one. I have a 2009 Volkswagen Rabbit.
Okay. Oh.
Okay, and I had it to my mechanic, local mechanic. I was also speaking to the dealership, but I have a situation where the cruise control does not work anymore.
Right.
Okay. The when you go to switch it on, it doesn't light up on the dash.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other throwing any other kind of lights and stuff on the dash, you know, or check engine lights or anything else on it. So I'm looking at it. I do want to get it fixed or something like that too, but. I'd gone to the dealership, and they said, well, they have to, I guess, run some diagnostic stuff or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
they would, yes, you know, of course.
And it's, you know, pretty expensive or something like that going that route. But I had a local mechanic look at it, and he put a reader on it, I guess, some
right.
kind of reader.
Okay.
Not a real detailed one. And he says that it's possibly could be the switch. You know, the actual mechanism on the steering column is the problem.
Yeah, that might be referred to as the steering electronics module.
Uh-huh.
Was anything ever done to that car? Accident or was there any work done, especially in the steering column area?
Nothing at all.
Okay.
It's been in for a few updates, I guess, the ECUs or something like that.
Right.
You know, over the years that I had it.
Right.
I can't say that. This happened exactly after they ran an update or something like that.
Did you buy the car?
And also, too, is I heard that sometimes when they do these updates, they forget to put the code.
Yeah,
you know,
it's called coding.
Like,
yeah, German cars call it coding. They might have missed something. Do you know the history of the car? Have you owned it since it was new?
Oh, yeah, since new, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, yeah, that could be one thing. But, of course, what you're going to need to is you're going to need someone. You're not doing this with a $29 code reader. You're probably not even doing this with a $99 code reader. You need something that's going to be able to get to the... You're going to have to get somebody with at least a professional level scan tool, preferably something like the factory level tool.
That speaks German.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now the mechanic put a reader on it, some kind of thing, and like I said, it's a generic one for all different cars and stuff like that.
Right.
And he showed me. He says this is where it's not making connection or something like that, or
no communication.
So I'm trying to figure out which route to go, if I should go out and buy the switch itself or something like that. Well, you know, I've already located that already online and stuff like that. You know, American Standard makes, you know, replacement one for that, so which is a little bit cheaper than the dealership one, you know.
Right.
But I'm just trying to know what, have them go into, you know, take the steering column apart to put this in, and then, I mean, is there anything indication on the other end where it would show this code where they did it with the, you know, body control module or whatever it is, would throw the same code or something like that for him?
Well,
it's not really a switch.
As far as, okay, when you're dealing with, now, if the code was for no communication or not coded correctly, which I don't pretend to know those codes off the top of my head. German code, okay, all the codes that you see in the code read like PO1234 or whatever, those are generic codes. Like, a lot of the German cars have, like, these five-digit codes, you know, like, they'll tell you exactly, driver's seat back too far, you know what I mean?
You need a
tool that's going to be able to communicate with that.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy anything, because if it's a matter of the tool is functional but not programmed properly, all you got to do is program it. Okay,
yeah.
In which case you need somebody with the right tool.
Right.
Okay.
Which would be mostly the dealership.
The there are independent guys that are capable of doing that too. You know, sometimes they may not do it themselves. They might call in a mobile tech like my buddy John.
Right.
You know, there's a number of them out there. But I wouldn't buy nothing just yet.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Because if it's a matter of that it did get screwed up in the recoding or the reprogramming, all somebody's got to do is just kind of give it an electronic slap in the head and say, thanks, I needed that. You know what I mean? So don't buy nothing yet. Spend the money that you would have bet on the part on a competent diagnosis by somebody who does this on a professional level.
Okay, that can take another step.
In other words, if you want to take and bet $100, bet it on the diagnosis before you buy anything.
Because
then that's the part, then it's the labor put in, and you're still going to have to program it.
Yeah, right. John, keep us up on that problem so we follow along. We'd like to close you.
Yeah. Well, I might shoot you an email, Joe. Okay.
Yeah.
Reference to this, and maybe I can communicate with your recommendations or something like that.
Yeah.
And who to see or something like that too.
Of course.
Like I said, you have shops. They say, yeah, I can do this, and you can do that. You know, and then they say, oh, well, you know.
Yeah. No.
You know, I don't want to be chasing my tail and stuff like that.
Of course. Yeah.
So maybe I can contact you guys on the email
website.
Site, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
By
all
means, yeah.
Absolutely.
We get it. You know, we get it forwarded to us or whatever, and then we'll get back in touch with you there, you know?
Okay, no problem. Like I said, it's... And I also, when I went to the dealership, you know, when I spoke to them, I mentioned about them putting it back in, the code, whatever it is for it.
Right.
He says, when did you have it last in here? And I said, maybe it was about a year ago. He says, well, you know, we only guarantee things for a year or something like that.
John, good friend Brian McKinney, hey, Matco Man, you can follow him on Instagram. He's Matco Dealer down in Maryland, good friend of ours. And Brian was a Porsche mechanic before he became a Matco guy. And he just said, Joe, you're going to love it. I should have you. He says, check the grounds on a Volkswagen.
We're part of a bad ground, don't you understand?
So, like with many, many cars today,
yeah,
go look those ground paths, too. Don't negate those.
Right.
Yeah, I got like 140,000 miles on it now, so I mean, it's a good car still.
Hey,
so.
Things start to, rust and oxidation, and things look good until you take them apart, and then you see, there's all sorts of crazy stuff under there.
Let's see about getting some meaningful scan data, and then we can talk some more.
Yeah.
All right, John, so keep us up on that, and... thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right, guys, to you an email then, okay?
All right,
thank
you,
guys.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, Brian, on a Thursday night plane in traffic show that we do with Lou Santiago, we had a woman on, Tammy Miller from Tamco Paint this past Thursday.
Okay.
She got the guys charged up. I mean, Brian, after the show, we did our second show, me, him, Chassis John, and Jason. And he's like, I want to paint my Mustang now. So who's thinking about it? He even threw it out. We need to do a garage squad thing. Go down to build his Mustang, and then we're going to come up and build someone else's car. So we'll talk more about that on future Motor Mouth Radios.
We'll have to use a map to find the place.
Until then, we got to go. So we'll see you next week
on WHPC.
See ya. Bye.